This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Is Patsy with a Z, and I am so happy to welcome you to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from Tan Talk Radio Network studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh, this is going to be a fantastic day. I love when I have the studio full of authors. Wow, this is absolutely magnificent. I have Elliot Smith, and he is an author and a magician, and his book is called Highway to Success, and he's going to tell us all about everyone out there, whether you're a writer, whether you're working in a business, whether you're thinking of starting a business. Elliot has great ideas for how to get ahead, right, Elliot?
Exactly.
Well, I'm thrilled that you're going to be telling us a lot of the things that you've learned along the way in building a very, very famous and successful business.
It's called the School of Hard Knocks.
That's it. Well, you've learned them. And then I have in the studio also three of authors who have been on the program before, and it's always so wonderful for me to see them. Sue Kochman and Jackie Minetti and Donna Perry, and each of them has written books that I just love. And of course, one of them I have to mention right away. I often have this and that days where I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I don't know what I'm doing. And so whenever I have that, actually that's like every other day, I think of Sue Kochman and her wonderful book called Mason's This and That Day. So I just want everyone to say hi. Sue?
Hi, good morning.
Okay, and Jackie is the author of two wonderful books, children's historical books, and I will talk about them in a little while. And say hi to everybody.
Hi, good morning.
Okay, and we're all on YouTube today, too, and Donna Perry is here, and I'm going to hold up Donna Perry's book to the camera. Because Donna Perry has written a book, I just love it, and she comes out every Christmas time, and it's called The Nutcracker, and of course it's based on the Nutcracker, and so it's really wonderful, and we're going to be talking about that too, Donna.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in. I know you've had some really great success with this, and wonderful things happening.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, we'll turn first to Elliot. Elliot, tell us, what, you know, as I said, so many of my listeners are authors and people who want to write, and sometimes they don't know where to start, and I like one of your recommendations is don't procrastinate. This is so important, isn't it?
It certainly is. Procrastination is the one thing that keeps us all sort of like waiting to do things. And I talk about the three D's in the book, determination, dedication, and discipline. Those are the three D's that we all need, because they go hand in hand with procrastination. And it's the type of thing where it's something that you have to have in the forefront if you want to succeed. As an entertainer, as an author, as a business professional, is making the decision to do it and then just go out and do it. But we don't all have the skills, and that's where the information in this book comes into handy.
Well, I think it certainly does. And now, as you were just mentioning, that you're going to turn this into an e-book too?
That is correct. This book was originally written for entertainers, performers, but all of the information in that is directly transferable to anybody in business. So I started talking and selling books to entrepreneurs in business, non-entertainers people. And then I started doing lectures through the business development branch of the public libraries, through the entrepreneurship centers, and talking specifically to business people. So I'm going to rewrite it, take out the references to entertainers, agents, things like that, and market this specifically to entrepreneurs, business people, people wanting to start a business, or even in a business that want to make their business run more efficiently.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background. wanted to be a magician from the time you were a kid, and you've done some wonderful things.
So let's go back. It was a cold and blustery November in 19... Never. No, as a child, I was always interested in magic. I was 6 years old and used to watch the Mark Wilson Magic Hour every Saturday, and I used to rush home and be able to watch the program. And for my 6th birthday, my parents asked me, what did I want for my birthday? And I go, a magic set. I want to be a magician. And they did go up and buy me a magic set, but their advice as great parents were, that's really nice, go to school, get an education, get a real job, and then you can do what you want to do. But they supported me, and I would come home from school, do my homework, and then I'd sequester myself to the bedroom and start practicing my magic. And it followed me through my whole life. I did go to university. I took a double major in architectural mechanical drafting. I could have been an architect.
Uh-huh.
I'm originally from Canada, so I worked for the Canadian government for a number of years. I got into the restaurant industry. Then I went to work with an advertising and marketing company. But magic was always part of my life. During the week, in the evenings and on weekends, I was still out performing. And then fast forward about 30 some odd years ago, there was a bit of an economic decline, and my real job, which was a commission job, my salary dropped significantly, but I was still doing magic on the side. And was actually at that point in time making more money in my passion of magic than I was in my real job. So I thought, if I'm gonna make a job transition, now's the time to do it. So I quit my job to pursue magic, and that's all I've been doing ever since.
And that's taking you around the world.
It's, oh my gosh.
And you've worked with some really fascinating people. Tell us about some of that.
I got to do a private performance for Liberace.
Wow.
Which was really kind of interesting. He was a huge fan of magic. I performed for Jay Leno, and I was actually the first Canadian magician to ever have performed at the Friars Club in New York City. It's a 111-year-old private club, very well known for a lot of actors and comedians.
And anyone who's watched Jerry Seinfeld and knows about that jacket situation.
Exactly. So I was the first, and you have to be invited in. You just can't say, can you book me there? So I was invited to perform there, and it was an amazing opportunity to be able to be there and be the first Canadian to ever do that.
And in front of so many very, very famous and important
exactly.
people. That must have been exciting.
Exactly. So that was a highlight of my career. The second highlight is meeting you today.
Oh, that's sweet. With all of this, you traveled the world. You've done cruises.
Yeah,
I've
traveled all through Canada, the United States, all through the Caribbean, Europe. And this is kind of that was the spark of the book. So I was out performing magic full time, and I drew on all of my business skills that I had learned in my real jobs, and just started applying them to my day-to-day routines. And as I'm traveling, I'm meeting other performers, not just magicians, but actors, stand-up comics, jugglers, whatever the case may be. And they started asking me business questions, like, how did you get this booking, and how do you do a contract, and how do you do this, and how do you do that? And as I was answering them with stuff that I did on a daily basis, which I took for granted, all of a sudden they were going like, wow, this was like big news for them. It was like they were having aha moments. And I couldn't understand it because this is what I did. This is what I took for granted that I was doing. But to them, it was like something new and different. And I thought, one day I need to write a book to get this information out to other performers, because performers are basically very talented, artistic, creative people.
Like writers.
But there's another side, the business side. And they didn't possess those skills, or they didn't want to, or it wasn't part of the process. So I thought, I need to get this information out one day. And that was one of the sparks to write the book.
Well, that's why when I was reading the book, and I kept thinking, you know, because I deal with writers so much, and I've also had so many of them come to me. I've been in a lot of businesses in my life. I've owned businesses. I've run businesses. I've started businesses. I've sold, you know, businesses at a profit. So I understand business, and I understand marketing, which is so important. And so when I started dealing with writers, and I discovered so many of them knew nothing. I mean, because they're in their little rooms and they're writing away all day long, and they're having fun. They love their characters, right? Isn't that true, girls? I don't know. Can I call you girls? I don't know. You know, this. I said it one day. I said, "Oh, I have these girls, and I'm, you know, not none of you are over 60, but I had two ladies in the studio, and I said, "Oh, I have these two girls," and I looked at them. I thought, "Oh, I hope they don't mind," but. You know, they're not politically correct at their age, but I don't know. So I can call you girls, guys, I don't know what the heck.
You can call me a boy.
That's right. Okay. So, but is this something you discovered that you had to learn business?
I think I'm still learning business as I go. In the beginning, I had a lot of opportunities to get in the classrooms in Pinellas County Schools because I was a former principal. And I have a lot of teachers and former colleagues that asked me to come in and do writing lessons and read to their kids and do things of that nature. Even that has slacked off because money is tight.
Yeah.
It's very hard
and
marketing.
And of course, it's easy for you to deal with teachers and schools and things like that, but to having to go outside of that familiar
yes,
area.
And you count on your friends, your fellow authors that we've met in groups and at vendor spaces, and we help try to network for each other and tell each other, you know, when there's something going on. That's how I became good friends with Jackie.
Uh-huh.
And we're working on a project together that she's going to talk about, I think.
Okay, good. Jackie, so tell us a little bit about what have you found from your point of view dealing with the business side of.
I think that for most writers is the most problematic because writing just as a craft is a very solitary endeavor. And from the writers even that I've interviewed, every one of them I've asked, what do you find the most difficult thing about writing? And invariably they say the marketing. And again, I think it's just part of that whole writer experience. You're in there in your own head, and you're creating these stories, and that's what you like to do, and that's where you're comfortable. And to have to go out and then be a salesperson is an entirely different skill set, and it's not one that most writers are comfortable with.
Well, Elliot, as you said in your book, you tell about having organizing yourself, organizing. Sort of, you have to sit down, you have to say, this is now a business, I have to have certain tools available for me.
100%. What a lot of people don't realize that in any type of business, if you're a solopreneur, like a one-person business, you have to be everything. You have to be the marketer, the promoter, you have to be the telephone person, the receptionist, the salesperson, you have to be shipper, receiver, advertising guru, accountant, you have to be everything.
And today, it's social media. You have to be Facebook savvy, Instagram crazy. You have to do tweet like crazy. You know, you have to be as good at tweeting as the President of the United States. And it's not easy for people who are, by nature, solitary.
Exactly. So you have two situations. You have the business who can afford and have the budgets to hire all of these very specific people in a company to help you run your business, or as a solopreneur, you have to learn to do it all by yourself. And so what I've done in the book is broken down all of these different tasks to give you enough information how you can do it on your own. But if you don't feel comfortable or you just don't feel ready to be able to do it on your own, then you have to budget yourself to go out and get somebody to help you. But what the book does is runs through each one of these tasks to give you enough information to be dangerous so that you can do it yourself. But I guess the most important thing is marketing, promotion, and sales. Like in any business, that is the most important thing. Like if you open up a retail outlet, let's say in a mall, so you open up your space, you have your shelves stocked, you open up the doors, how do you get the people there? Just because you are ready to go, it doesn't mean all of a sudden as soon as you open the doors, people are gonna be flooding in. You have to tell the people about it. And this is where marketing, promotion, advertising comes into play.
Exactly. Right? You know, I like to compare it to, you know, everybody wants to open a cupcake bakery. It's fun, it's nice, everything looks good, it's delicious, it's wonderful. But boy, you have to have it planned out. You have to have a budget. Most authors do not have a budget when they finish their book and they say, oh, I'm done. None of them. I was at a meeting in Tampa, and I asked all the women in there, how many of you had $20,000 ready to get out there and start your business? I mean, if you had a cupcake bakery, you would have money. None of them had. None of them. Most of them didn't have 2 cents ready for advertising, promotion, and all of that.
And not only that, just the book itself. When I first brought the book to fruition in the early 2000s, they didn't have print on demand. So it's not like you could send your script to a few of the online printing services and print your books, you know, 5-10 at a time or do it print on demand. I actually had to go to an offset printer and have my books printed. I didn't have the option of doing print on demand. So this book, it's like a full color book. It's glossy,
beautiful,
and everything like that. So when I did my first run of books, they said, okay, so 500 is gonna cost you this per book. But if you get 1,000, it'll cost you this much per book. And if you get 5,000, it'll cost you this much per book. So I had an outlay of $45,000 to print 5,000 books. So now these days, you don't have that major cash outlay for the books, but if you're gonna do a marketing promotion, you would have to have a budget to do that. It doesn't have to be significant. And because what I did is, when I learned sales in my jobs, back sales in those days was what they called old-fashioned guerrilla-style marketing. You get on the phone and you call up people, you do cold calls. Or you're driving down the street and you drop into a business. Or still even now, as I'm driving down the highway, I'll see the name of a company, I'll write it down. When I get back home, I'll Google the name of the company, find out who's in charge of various aspects of the company, human resources, whatever the case may be. And I call up the company. Hi, my name is Elliot Smith. I'm a professional magician. Or what I do is I also do team building, motivational speaking. So I'll ask for the human resources people. But that's what I do, and I still do. It's putting yourself out there, making cold calls, going to networking groups, organizations. There's really not a lot of cost to doing that, but it's time, and you have to devote that time, which comes back to the dedication.
Exactly.
And the discipline.
So, you know, I when I started this program, I was very shy. It's really quite amazing that I'm on the radio at all, because I was such a shy person. I was in many ways like every writer. I'm very solitary, and except with my family, I was very outgoing with them, but with people, and I was even the president of Hadassah organization here in St. Petersburg. But I took the presidency because I knew I didn't have to talk. I only had to introduce the talker. So it's quite amazing. I had to learn to talk. And when I meet writers, so many of them, that's the most difficult thing.
Yep.
Get out there and, well, like you said, ask questions, introduce yourself, and talk.
Sure, sure. And you don't have, when you're a solopreneur, you don't have anybody to delegate this to, because there's nobody to delegate it to. You have to do it yourself, so you learn very quickly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you have to just get out of your comfort zone.
Exactly.
And learn to do it, which you did.
Now, and of course, I know that Donna Perry has had to move out of her comfort zone, because you now are promoting your book, The Muttcracker, in so many ways, and really getting out there.
What I can really relate to is the procrastination piece, because I do have a business background and I have a research background. So I spend a lot of time on the internet researching markets and researching places that I can go, who might want to buy this book, where can I sell it. But the procrastination thing is important, especially with a holiday book, because I find that you have to back up your calendar, and all of a sudden it's July, and it's like, I need to get started. And you tell yourself, this is crazy. Nobody's going to be wanting to hear about a holiday book in July, but that's not true. They're making their plans as well. Their November and December dates are filling up quickly, so I need to be there in July. I can't afford to procrastinate. And yeah, I've learned that lesson sometimes the hard way, but it's a year-round effort,
even though it's only November and December where I'm actually physically out there meeting people and trying to get my book noticed and purchased.
Well, exactly. And, you know, you, of course, now are dealing on another level because people are actually taking up your thing and performing. Are they?
Yes, yes. But that is a very good thing for me. Over the years, I have found where my audience is. And originally, I thought, well, this is a book about dogs, and it's based on the Nutcracker Ballet dancers. And I thought, well, dog people are my audience, and this is true. But I was trying to reach them through things like dog adoption events. And that worked a little bit, but not really to my liking. What I'm finding is the word muckraker is getting more and more popular, and I have a Google alert set up for my name and for the book, The Muckraker, and every once in a while something will pop up in my news feed, oh, The Muckraker is being talked about, and I open it up to see, oh, who knows my book? And it's like, oh, it's not about my book. It's about a ballet company who is doing a ballet using dogs, or it's about an organization that is using dogs and ballet dancers on a calendar and selling the calendar. So all across the United States and in Canada and in Mexico, people have muckraker type events. So one of them, or actually several of them, I've connected with. And I said, hey, I see you're doing a muckraker ballet. I have a muckraker book. May I come and sell it at your event? And the Birmingham Ballet did invite me up last year. I went. I sold my books at their event, and I brought 20 books with me, and they were gone before the curtain rose. It's like, okay, this is my audience.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I wasn't able to be there this year, but I did ship books up, and they were selling them there.
Well, it's wonderful. Well, you've learned something about business, and you've adapted, and I'm sure there's a lot of room for expansion because it is a delightful book. I think it's one of the cutest Christmas books of all. And for people also who like dogs, I think it's a cute book and children love it. And I think you've done a wonderful job with it.
Thank you.
I'm going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, we'll talk to each of the ladies, gals, whatever, and they're going to tell a little bit about their individual books, and then we'll talk more to Elliot about how he can help people, give them some ideas on how to get out there and really promote their books. Okay? We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my guests here in the studio. This is such a wonderful day, and we have with me Elliot Smith. And right now, Elliot Smith is going to perform a magic trick. We are also on YouTube, so if Elliot, you want to show us some magic?
Sure.
Okay, come on.
Sure.
We're right here.
All right, Patsy, do you have any rope?
No, I don't.
Do any of you ladies have any rope with them?
I think, Sue, you have a rope?
No.
I don't have a rope.
Hang on.
Oh, maybe Donna here.
No. Oh, wait. I happen to have some rope here.
Yeah.
And on the way to the studio this morning, I needed to stop off at the store and get some rope, and unfortunately, I only had left for these three pieces. There was a short piece.
Okay.
There was a medium sized piece.
Okay.
For you. And you two ladies, there was a big long piece. You can share that one. Now, I want you to pull on the rope, make sure it's really good, strong rope, give it a good tug. Does that look good?
Yeah.
So I said to the man at the store, I said, I don't know if I can use these ropes. And he goes, why not? And I said, obviously I can't because they're all three different sizes. Well, he said, it's magic rope. I said, what do you mean? He said, even though they're all different, he said, all you have to do is bring up the ends. So what he did is he brought up the end of the short piece, the medium-sized piece, and the long one. He said, now you see they're all the same size. Go, no, they're not. What about that rope there? He said, all you have to do is pull on the ends. And now you see they've all become the exact same length. Now he said, I can send you three for $1. So I bought the one piece, the two pieces, and the three. But I had a feeling he wasn't quite telling me the truth, because when I got here today to the studio and took them out of my sock, you see, all he sold me was the short piece, the medium-sized piece, and the very long one, just like that.
I love it. Isn't that wonderful?
You want to know how I did it?
Yeah.
Just ask me how I did it.
How'd you do it?
Very well.
You did it very well.
And it's not up my sleeves.
No, it's not. He has no sleeves. Wow, is that cool?
So this is maybe the second time now I've done a magic trick on the radio.
Okay, that's right. On the radio, magic trick. Look, he performed for Liberace. He performed for Jay Leno. Was Jay Leno nice?
Very, very nice guy.
Yeah?
Very nice guy.
I used to like his show. Yeah. And I don't like the new one, All About Cars and Stuff, but I did like the old.
And I didn't say this, but I was with him. I was looking at his chin, and I go, your chin's not really that big.
Looks that big, doesn't it? Well, this is fantastic. You know, it's so much fun. As I said, you know, here, I always have fun in the studio. I love being here. And one of the things, you know, I so enjoy promoting authors and helping authors. And we certainly also have someone in the studio who does that on, I don't know. Jackie, do you write a blog posting every day? It's like I get one every day. Where do you get all these authors, Florida, fabulous Florida writers?
Well, actually, the blog started as an outgrowth of a column I wrote for a local newspaper. And I would interview an author and then feature the author. And, people say, well, you review books. No, I do not want to be a reviewer. I don't want to be looked at as a reviewer. I am more just a promoter of Florida writers. And when I started the series, I had just planned on doing an interview or two. And from that, these writers I interviewed would say, you know, if you really would like to talk to someone who likes mystery, writes a lot of mystery, here are some names. And it just took off from there. And it's been actually going since 2014. And I did the blog as these writers that I featured would start to put out new books. I thought, well, if I do a blog, then I can feature them again, but with an updated form of the article so I can include the new stuff they've done. And still going. I'm booked for months in advance.
Well, you're doing in print what I'm doing here.
Yes,
on
exactly,
the air,
exactly.
Promoting authors. And isn't it a wonderful feeling to help others and to help authors promote their books?
It is, and I've met some phenomenal people. Sue, for example, we become fast friends as a result of an article that I did on her books. And it's amazing to me how many really good writers live in Florida. I never expected that when I started, but there are so many. And I asked them, you know, what is it about Florida that you think attracts writers. And they always said the same thing. You know, you're going to write somewhere. You can really write anywhere. Why not write where the weather's beautiful?
Exactly.
Good point.
Exactly. And it is. We are so blessed. My son is up in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, my goodness.
And he has 0 degrees. I mean, zero. Like, zero. He says, that's a little cold, Mom. And, you know, the first year he went up there 3 years ago, he's finishing his PhD up in the spring here. And the first year he got up there, he called me after the first snowfall. You know, I thought he would be real excited to tell me, oh, snow's so beautiful, snow's so wonderful. And all he said is, Mom, snow is heavy. Yes, because in his building, he was assigned, because all the, now, you know, talk about politically correct and can I call girls, girls, women, women. The other residents in his building were girls. And somehow they did not understand the concept of what is that object in the corner in the basement. Oh, a shovel! My goodness, they didn't understand. It was a shovel, and it seemed he was the only one who understood the purpose of that shovel. And so when he calls and said, "Ah, oh, it's heavy. It looks so light, but it's heavy." And yes, he learned it. So we're very lucky here. The weather is fantastic. And great for writers. So I just want to really thank you so much, Jackie, because I think you've done a wonderful job with your with the blog, really helping people.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Of course, your books are wonderful. Your first book, Jacqueline, I always pronounce it Jacqueline because it's set in Europe, and it's a book that I know. You were so happy that your father lived long enough.
Yes, to
see this book come to life, because it was based on a story that he had told you.
Yes, it was his story. It was an experience he had when he was stationed with the 127th General Hospital in Rennes. He got there the day after D-Day, and this little neighborhood girl just took a liking to him, and she was about 10 or 11, and she just started following him around, and she spoke French and he did not, so they kind of communicated through sign language and teaching each other a word here or there. And over the 6 months that he was stationed there, this really beautiful friendship developed, and she became the sweetheart of the 127th General Hospital. But it was my dad that she really liked the most, and he told her when they were being transferred that if he ever had a daughter, he would name her Jacqueline, and here I am. So he told this story. This was the only war story he ever would share, and he told it so often. And I did get to meet her as when she was an adult, and I was at that point, I was the same age as she was when she met my dad. So it was just a really great experience. And he bugged me about writing the story, and I actually, at the time, had just written a woman's fiction, so I was thinking in terms of an adult audience, and I explained that there really wasn't an audience for it. But then all of a sudden, you know, it dawned on me that this would be a great middle grade, not really a children's book, but a middle grade book. So that's how that book came about. And yeah, that has a special place in my heart. In fact, my dad's picture is on the cover. So.
I know. That's why I love it. Because yeah. My dad was also in D-Day, and so the book is really, really very touching, and I think it's great. And of course, your second book, because I'm a great admirer of American history. I mm-hmm. love American history. And your second book, I thought was just a brilliant idea that you got. Tell us about that one.
The book is called One Small Spark, and after I wrote Jacqueline, I thought, that's it, I'm done, I'm going to go lie on the beach and relax and enjoy myself. But I was watching a program called Legends and Lies, The Patriots, and during that program, I found that before the Boston Massacre, there was actually another event that occurred that really was the kind of seminal moment that sparked the American Revolution. There was an 11-year-old servant boy. He was the son of German immigrants. His name was Christopher Sider. And he was part of the Sons of Liberty movement. And they were demonstrating outside the business of a local merchant who was breaking the non-importation boycott in Boston. And a series of things happened, and it eventually ended up with this little boy being shot and killed. And up until that point, the Bostonians could not get behind the idea of taking up arms against Britain. That was a bridge too far for them. So they would boycott, they would complain, they would, you know, try to pass some kind of legal ramifications against what was going on in Boston, but they would not take up arms. Well, this little boy's murder enraged them to such a degree, because the guy that that actually killed this boy was he was an informer for the Crown, and he was involved in more with the British than he was with the colonists at that point. And they were so furious about this that was what got them motivated to actually break physically away from England. And had this not happened, we don't know that the Boston Massacre would have even taken place.
And this is a forgotten point in history. Nobody actually ever talked about it. And so you wrote this book called One Small Spark, and it is a wonderful book, and wonderful book for children.
Thank you.
And for adults.
We got some exciting news about it a couple of weeks ago. The Literary Classic Book Awards, I had sent the book in, and they gave me a beautiful review. And then I found out that it won the gold medal for historical fiction. And they have four top awards. They give one for children's, one for children's chapter, one for nonfiction, and one for picture books. And it won the Eloquent Quill Award for children's chapter books. So that was huge. So we were really excited about that.
Well, congratulations, and
thank you.
Deserve it. It's a wonderful book. Now, do you have a website you want people to go to? Or
yes, the books are available on Amazon, and you can also get them through my website, which is jackieminitti.com, JACKIEMINNITI, two N's and one T.
Okay, great. All right. Well, Jackie, I think you've done a wonderful job, and I'm just so grateful for you, for your work, and just for being here today, because it really means a lot to me.
Thank you.
Okay.
My pleasure.
Well, now, let's talk to Sue Kochman. Sue knows that I just adore her book, Mason Sisson That Day, and tell us about your other book, because you have a wonderful, wonderful character. I love Sam.
Well, we'll start with Sam then. How about that?
Okay.
Sam's a delightful little monkey, and it came about many, many years ago, actually before my son was born. And I was in the second grade classroom teaching dental health. They asked us to teach dental health in those days, and there weren't very many books out there like that. So I decided to come up with a monkey with a beautiful smile, and he basically teaches kids how to, you know, take care of their teeth and everything. But the interesting thing nowadays with this book, there's a journal that goes along with it, because all of my books can be used in classrooms. There's a springboard lesson for every one of my books. There's lessons that I can give people, parents, homeschool people, teachers, whatever, or whoever, to accompany the book. Sam is also about peer pressure and learning to say no and stand up for yourself in a happy way. So it's interesting. It's not just about dental health. It's just the way the culture has changed, how it could adapt to all of that. But yeah, it's been a fun book. I also wrote With Love from Grandma and With Love from Grandpa. There are so many grandparents raising their children today that I thought that those two titles would be very, you know, good for people to have out there. And they, again, realistic fiction. All of my books are about kids, their problems, some things that they face, whether they're real in their mind or not, they're real to them. So I always like to have a story that kids can relate to. Being the elementary school principal, retired, and still love being with kids and reading to them and that kind of thing, I continue to write for kids. I hope someday to write like Jackie. But I'm not there yet. I still love my little people and my little stories. I go in classrooms and I teach writing lessons, and I use my books as characters for characterization and whatnot. My most recent book is School Dazed. And I wrote that hoping that every school in Pinellas County and across the state and everywhere and even in England, that they would use this book for the first day of school. So many kids are moving and changing classes and schools, and they don't know where they're going from one, you know, if their parents get deployed, they moved, or whatever. And these children are afraid. They get nervous about silly things in school. They're afraid of things. Of course, a lot of it's blown out of proportion. It's kids' imagination. And it's a story of friendship of three kids. And they go to school, and they're really worried about school and what may happen, if the teacher's going to be mean, if the cafeteria food's going to be disgusting. It goes on and on. It's just really cute. It's well done. The artwork is adorable. And it comes in a paperback and a hardback. A lot of people now want paperback books. I love hardback books, but they seem to be wanting paperback, so I'm trying to change my marketing, Elliot, so I can get some marketing out there for the paperback stuff. But anyway, school's not what it seems, and their day was not always what it seemed to be. So it's really a cool story. And then the other story, Mason's This and That Day. I think of all of us. We are constantly rolling and running from one situation to another. We talk fast, we eat fast, we type fast, we do errands all day long. So I decided to come up with a story about a little boy. His name is Mason, and he has a whole lot of fun doing a lot of things all day long. And I won't tell you what those things are, because I think during the Christmas and winter vacation, I think every parent needs to buy this book for their child, and maybe they'll do some of the things in the book that Mason's doing. So without any more on that, he's just an adorable character that does a whole lot of this and a whole lot of that all day long. He has a lot of fun. He doesn't get much accomplished, but he's a kid. And it's really a cute story. And like I said, the illustrations in these books, I have to really commend my artists. One of them's Linda Cohen. She's out in Australia. And with children's books, you know how important the artwork is. Yeah. And they're just beautifully done. And I can't boast about them enough, probably because they're my books, but also because when I read them to the children in the classrooms and I do lessons about my books or the characters, the kids really like them. I use kid feedback. If they tell me they don't like something in a story, or they do like something, I remember that for my next book. So those are my stories. My books also can be purchased Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If they just Google Sue Kochman, S-U-E Kochman, K-O-T-C-H-M-A-N, books, my name will come up, and I'll take them somewhere to get some of my books.
Exactly. Well, and as I said, I think of you often. And we all need This and That Days, where we just do things that we want to do and enjoy doing them and not get all hung up on everything. So, Elliot, when we're talking here about getting out there, as these women now, you know, they've learned to get out there, and they've had to develop. One of the things that so many writers do, they now go to a lot of shows, they go to conventions, they go to events. Many of them do smaller events, local events. What are some of the ideas you have for people when they get out there? How should they react to people?
Well, I guess the first thing you'd have to look at it is, who's your target market? A lot of people waste time doing like a general marketing campaign, but they have to realize that a lot of the people they're marketing to, it isn't who their market is.
Exactly, like Donna Perry discovered.
Right. So I have something in the book called USP, your unique selling position or product. So you have to look specifically where you're wanting to market it towards. And yes, you did mention authors go to a lot of conventions and conferences and things like that, but there's a lot of things that they can do within their own community. So for example, independent bookstores. You may not have your book at an independent bookstore or maybe even a used bookstore, but ask them, would you be willing to have me come in and do a book signing, and maybe I'll donate a percentage of the proceeds to you or to some charity, because they already have walk-in trade already. So you can maybe tie on to maybe a promotion that they're doing, either, as I mentioned, an independent bookstore. A lot of independent bookstores I found are willing to take my book on consignment. They don't want to buy my book, but I'll say, fine, what we'll do is I'll give you a few copies on consignment, but let's arrange maybe on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon for a couple of weekends, I'll come in and do an actual book signing. So that's a way to help market and promote your book. Because you ladies are doing specifically, you know, kids books, go to schools and talk with the PTA Association. because a lot of times they're doing fundraisers or looking to do something. So maybe at one of the upcoming PTA events or at a school function or at a fundraiser that the school is putting on, that you'd be willing to go and set up a little booth, sell your book. And again, you can donate a percentage of the proceeds to the PTA or whatever fundraiser that school is working with. Churches. If you belong to any type of a church group, or you may have some of churches, again, they're always doing stuff on weekends to raise money, so maybe they'll allow you to go in and sell your book at a church. A street fair, a festival. I know we were in, it was Tarpon Springs a couple of weekends ago, and they had a weekend little thing where they took a couple of parking lots and people had little booths set up. Have a booth to sell your book.
Well, explain about your wife's book.
So my wife Rosalind Franken actually wrote two books. Her first book was called The A-List, Nine Guiding Principles to Healthy Eating, Positive Living. And then the last book that she wrote is Meant to Be, A True Story of Might, Miracles, and Strength of the Human Spirit. It's a story of her parents. Her mother was a Holocaust survivor, and her father was a Nagasaki bomb survivor. So it's a story of what these two people went through, how they got through what they did, how they met, how they fell in love, and how they made a life together. So she decided, what markets do I have available to me? Well, she has a corporate market because they have conferences where they're looking for motivational speakers. So this is a book of inspiration. But she goes to churches, she goes to synagogues, she's speaking at schools. Again, the message that she has is basically targeted towards very specific audiences. So what she did is she thought, okay, there's an inspirational aspect, so let me get in touch with churches. So she would approach churches and various other groups. But then the kids these days need to know about a little bit about history and how we can prevent these things from happening again. And also, the kids these days, oh my gosh, my cell phone died. My life is over. So she goes to schools to tell them, you know what? Look at what these people went through. They survived and got through it. Now you can apply some of these same thought process to your life. And you know what? It's not the end of the world. I can move on and I can overcome obstacles that happen in my life.
Well, see, Elliot has experienced both as a magician and as helping his wife promote her books, and she's doing a great job. And we're going to see. We're going to see Rosalind's book turned into a film. I know it. I knew it That's the right. minute I read the book. I knew that, and when she was on the first time, I said, this is going to be a film someday.
100%.
And it is, and I'm just so happy for both of you. And I want to thank you, you know, for coming in today and inspiring us and showing us a little bit of magic here on radio. And it wasn't it wonderful to see that? It's wonderful to see it up close and personal.
Can I tell people where they can get my book?
Yes, I was just going to say.
Book, Highway to Success, The Entertainer's Roadmap to Business. Too bad I'm so shy. Isn't
it? Yeah.
And my website is Happy Medium Books, plural. Happy Medium Books.
I like that.
.com.
Okay.
And just very quickly, over and above just a book of information, when people purchase the book, you go onto the website and there's actually forms and letters that people can download to help them in the business. So there's call tracking, there's forecasting sheets, there's letters of introduction, there's all sorts of forms that people can download and use real time to help them in their business.
So repeat the website again.
So it's happymediumbooks.com. Plural.com.
Okay, well, go to his website and get the book and just discover some more ideas on how to promote yourself and how to promote your business. And Carol, Donna, where do people contact you? Your book is, of course, available. Your book's available on Amazon.
It is available on Amazon, but they can also get it directly from my publisher, Book Baby. And the best way to find the address for that is to simply go to the Muckrackers Facebook page. He does have his own Facebook page.
Wow.
So if they go to Facebook and look up The Muckracker, He'll be there.
He'll be there.
And there will be the buy now button, and it will tell you how exactly to get it through Book Baby.
Are any of you doing anything here in the area during Christmas? Any appearances that you want to advertise? No? Nothing?
No, I did a wonderful fun thing, though.
What did you do?
I was up in New York for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and the day after that, there's a brand new museum in New York City called the AKC Museum of the Dog.
Oh, wow.
And I was able to bring my books and do a book reading and book signing in their community room. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so that was my highlight of the year.
Well, that is wonderful just to be up there. You saw the parade?
I was in the parade. That's another story.
You were in the parade.
I was, yes.
Were you part of this band? Or
I was.
Well, you were part of the band, too. Wow.
I was carrying a flag for the awesome original Second Time Arounders band.
Wow, it was really wonderful. Our local band here. So I wish I had known in advance. I looked for you, too. So, that's fantastic. And we're very proud of our local band here. They are wonderful and my goodness, they got invited to be picked out of 150 bands. So they were one of the 9 bands selected. Absolutely wonderful. Okay. Well, you know, everybody, all of these books are available on Amazon or in Elliot's case on his website. And go there and get these books. And the most important thing is, I want to thank Elliot so much because magic is so important. It's wonderful, and this is a magical season, a wonderful time of the year. And I want to tell everyone, go to my website, radio-joyonpaper.com, and I'm going to be putting up more information there. I'm really going to expand the webpage so that I can cover so much of the information that people are asking me questions about, and how to find an agent, get involved in the business side of publishing, because it is so important to promote your books. And remember, it's because, again, thank you all for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, well, it's been wonderful. Because remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you are very, very lucky, to hear those absolutely magical words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know. And you won't know unless you get out there and, as Elliot says, be determined. Get out there. What are the 3 Ds, Elliot?
Dedication, determination, and discipline.
That's it. And start writing a page a day, and in a year, you're going to have a big, fat book, and you will be a very happy person. So get out there and do that. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Big Ed, thank you so much for everything. Ah, he's saluting me. I'm saluting him because I should have been in the military. I love to be saluted, and I want to thank everybody for being here today. Bye-bye now.